Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
For so many reasons, I think this is actually one of the greatest times of the entire year. And one of those, it's got nothing to do with church, but it is something I really enjoy and a whole bunch of people do. It's March Madness. We love this season to watch basketball and to watch your teams. And some of us, our brackets were busted a long time ago. Mine's still moving. It's limping at this point. But I just passed my daughter in the group that we're in. And here's how my daughter chooses her teams. It's based off mascots. Which one's cooler? Which one she likes better? And I'm like, how is she beating me in this thing when she chooses them that way? And this afternoon for me, it's going to make or break it this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to a little basketball this afternoon. Some of you are baseball fans and baseball season kicked off and you're excited about that. Others of you are just days away from traveling that you get to head out on spring break. And I just learned that spring break is one of the top three travel times in the United States, that we have 170 million people that travel somewhere on spring break. That's half our nation. And most of those are heading down to like Gulf Shore in Florida. Like, good grief. That's a ton of people like about to tip the area down there. And I remember spring break. It was always different than the other two holidays. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, and spring break are the big threes. And Thanksgiving and Christmas made sense. Like even in college, our college roommates would go off and they would find their way to Minnesota, Wisconsin, back. Kathy would go back to Florida to go be with family on those. But spring break, it was a different one. We would pack into cars that had no right to make it across the United States of America, and we would take them anyway. And I had a really cool car that we jammed five guys in. We went all the way down to Texas and back, and that car, it was a Mustang, a Ford Mustang. Yeah, I used to own one. It looked like this right there. It's back when the Mustang was really, can you believe they did that to a Mustang? That wasn't mine. Mine wasn't as cool a color as that. That color, can you imagine the guy that did that, that designed this thing and then said, let's paint it puke. Let's do that. I mean, that guy had to have lost his job. Mine was baby blue, but we made our way across the nation. And then I got to thinking, 171 million people traveling. Like, wow. And for all of those that are in Michigan, like, why would you want to leave Michigan? And then I looked up the weather report. Here's what's coming. Rain Tuesday, rain Wednesday, rain Thursday, rain Friday, rain Saturday, rain Sunday. But Monday, like 8 days from now, Monday, we're supposed to get sun. But this is Michigan. That can change. So don't get your hopes up, right? So no wonder you're leaving. But when we think about the travel, we do a lot of it. Or some people do a lot of it. As a nation, we do a lot of it. Are we the first people to do that? No, we're not. Even if you go way back to ancient times, go back to the days of Jesus, go back to ancient Israel, they had three periods at which they traveled, and they are these three: Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Those are the three times they would travel. And what they would do, they called them pilgrimages, which is kind of a cool word, especially when you understand it was a spiritual pilgrimage. I'm going on a spiritual journey. And they would walk from wherever they were and would make their way toward Jerusalem to celebrate these three. And the three were these. In English, we would say Passover or the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover was this. That every year, all able-bodied Jewish men would make their way to Jerusalem. Make their way to Jerusalem for Passover. And the purpose of Passover was this. That they would remember. T- take the act of remembering what had God done for us back in Egypt, way back when they had been in slavery for 400 years through Moses. God delivered them from the land of slavery toward the promised land. And they would come together as an act of remembrance. And at the Feast of Weeks, they would remember that out in the wilderness, up on Mount Sinai, Moses went up there and God, the God of this universe, did not remain a mystery to us. He gave us his word that we could understand who he is. And he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, etched in stone, so we would have these rules for living. And they came and celebrated, act of remembering. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is what it says, that they understood there was a day that we were a nomadic people, that we picked up our tents and we moved from one area to the other. We really had no home. And the very house of God was a tabernacle, a tent, a meeting place, that we would pick up the stakes, pick up the poles. We would move it from one place to another, and they would remember how God had guided them through the wilderness. Every able-bodied man, half a nation, packing into one place right there in Jerusalem all together. And that is the setting for our story today. They're all jamming in Jerusalem. Passover was the greatest of all of these, the most attended of all of these. Jerusalem was slam-packed during that time. And if you've been around Fairhaven, I say it enough, other pastors here, we say it enough, but context is everything. When we want to understand God's word, when we're getting into God's word to understand what is the context, what was happening, what were they thinking, what were they feeling, what was going on in the original hearers, in the stories that we read, because if we can get into the story has a way of getting into us. If we can get into the story, the chance of that finding a home in us for our living right here in 2026, it's why we call this the living word. This word of God has a way of transforming us. And so in Mark 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, we're going to be in that story today. It is a story that's really old, and it's a story that goes all the way back to the days of Jesus. In fact, it goes all the way back to the days of Moses when we understand the context, and the context is that of Passover. And on this day, all across the world today, this is amazing, churches all over the world today are celebrating what we call Palm Sunday. And that's the story in a crowded Jerusalem, celebrating, remembering what God did. Jesus came off the Mount of Olives, rode on a donkey into the Valley of Kidron, made his way back up to Jerusalem. What's that all about? Let's read it. As they, Jesus and his disciples, approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" That's the story that we call Palm Sunday. That's the celebration that's happening around the world. But to understand this story that we just read, we actually have to understand the story that Moses was living with the Israelites in the nation of Egypt when they're under slavery, and what God did and what Passover was and why they gathered year after year, traveling from all over the place, pilgrimage, spiritual journey, to find their way into Jerusalem to remember and to celebrate. And Passover, that was happening right at this moment, had two things that marked that moment for every one of those people that made their way to Jerusalem. And it was these two things. Number one, they came to celebrate their freedom from Egypt, and they came to pray for freedom from Rome. So they were looking back with gratitude, such gratitude for God who showed up and brought 10 plagues and reduced the most powerful nation in the world to its knees, freed his people, and they went, God did amazing things in our history, and we're asking in our future that he would do it again. To understand where Israel's at in this journey, we're going to do a quick run of the history of the nation of Israel and start in Egypt. They were in Egypt, and as I already mentioned, they were under slavery in Egypt. There was a Pharaoh that had power, was on the throne, and ruled over the world at that time, if you will. Certainly that big region, but the most powerful nation in the world. And there was a Pharaoh on the throne. Eventually, Israel found their way to two kingdoms. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. As they were freed, they went through the Red Sea. They made their way to Mount Sinai. They were given the Ten Commandments, and they moved to a numerous people, where in the northern kingdom, they were referred to as Judah, and the southern kingdom, they were Israel. Those two nations. And the northern kingdom, Judah, was eventually overcome by the Assyrians. Assyria came in and took the throne of power and put them under their thumb. And roughly 150, 200 years later, we find Babylon doing the same thing to the southern kingdom. Assyria in the north, Babylon in the south, until another nation rose up with incredible power in that day and exerted their military might over them. The Persians came and began to rule the world. And from there, we find that in the year 722 BC, Greece stepped into power. And then from there, we find that Rome, about 150 years later, in the year 63, they find their way into power and took over Greece, took over the world. It was actually spoken of Rome, because all roads lead to Rome from all the world, because they built this incredible system that it was referred to, even in the scripture, we can read it, the entire Roman world. Like they owned, quote unquote, they didn't, but it felt like the entire world. Where was Israel in all of this? Under the reign of this power, north, that power, south, Babylon, that power, till Persia took over under that power, till Greece, until Alexander the Great took his throne, and now he's on the throne. Rome, it's Caesar Augustus, he's sitting on the throne, he's in power, and what is happening for the people of Israel? Can you begin to feel the heartbeat of these people as they gather on a spiritual journey? And they're making their way into Jerusalem. They're on a pilgrimage, and they know what they're going for. We are going into Jerusalem together as a collective people, and we are going to pray, and we are going to worship God, and we're going to remember what he did back in Egypt. We're going to remember that he set us free, and then we are going to plead God for our future, that he will do it again and set us free from the oppression that we feel under Rome, that we will have independence again as a people. Can you feel the heartbeat of the crowd, the stirring that's in them on that day? Because that's the context, and context means a lot. I don't remember what year it was, but it was when Urban Meyer was still coach of the Buckeyes of Ohio State, and that guy had Michigan's number, and none of us Michigan fans liked it. He just kept beating us, and there was a moment. I was at the game in the big house, sitting on the 45-yard line, like best tickets I ever had for the big game, and I was sitting there with a couple friends, and we had a shot at it. And the stadium was electric and going crazy. And we were giving it to Ohio State. And at a moment where there's just enough quiet in the crowd, which wasn't very often, there's a guy about 3-4 rows back from us that stood up with this amazing voice. And he just bellowed out. And he said, glory be! The spirit of Bo Schembechler has fallen on the stadium. And I thought, oh, that's amazing. Terrible theology. Like bad theology. But the whole crowd was like, yeah. And I'm like, no, probably not. All right, that's not what's happening here. And then we ended up getting beat. If you know the story, that's all I want to say about it. It's just a disgusting story. But we ended up getting beat. And yet that feeling, put it on blast, because it's way more than just a game. That's a game. But a people and an existence. And you have to go from Egypt to Assyria to Babylon to Persia to Greece to Rome. Lord, you've done it in the past. Please, please, in our present, do it again. And the word was out. It's a really cool word. There's a rabbi. He's from the Galilean region. Man, he's doing some stuff. And if you've been around Fairhaven for a while, we've been 14 weeks in the Gospel of Mark. We've been studying the kingdom of God and the ways of Jesus in that gospel. And the primary push of this book was about this advancing kingdom of God. And it showed up in signs and wonders. And Jesus was busy having moments with people where he'd say, keep this quiet for a bit. Because why? I have to invest in these disciples so that these disciples will eventually be used to shape the world. If word gets out too quickly about me, I'll be incapable of moving them out. It's eventually happened because he became too popular when the word eventually got out. Well, the word's fully out now. Word's out. He's walked on water. This is the one that wind and wave, they obey him. He's the one that he has a conversation with a man that was loaded with demons. And this man got freed. And Lazarus, he was dead and in a tomb. And there was Jairus' daughter. She was laying there dead. Both cases, they came back. That he can raise people from the dead and talk to the wind, talk to the wave. He has command over the demoniacs. This is a miracle maker. And what they were looking for is for God to do it again. You did it in Egypt. Do it again. And this people, gathering, praying, wanting to celebrate what was and look forward to what would be, they knew their Bible. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, they had that down. Many of them, likely most of the men, by memory, first five books of the Bible. They understood really well because of the schools that they would have went through. It was centered around the very word of God. They would have known the prophets. They would have known the wisdom literature. They would have known the Old Testament. They would have known this verse, likely by memory, because of the time they were in. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. They would have known that. What do you think they were feeling? Jesus looked at his disciples. We walked by it a little bit earlier, and I saw a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey was tied up in the city. Go and tell them the Lord has need of it. And when they told him, what do you think they were thinking? Here we go. Jesus? That guy, the miracle maker? He's up there? And he wants this donkey? And shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of, yeah, you can have it. You can have it. And what happens next? If you've been in the place, maybe you're wondering, what is this story that's unfolding that we talk about every single year on Palm Sunday? What is that really all about? And what were they feeling, maybe even more specifically, in the Passover celebration in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago when this happened? What were they feeling? Today, I'm hoping that by the time we're done here, you will say, I don't have to wonder anymore. I know what they were feeling because it's right there in black and white. We just read it. The crowd that was gathered, here's what they did. This is, next slide, please. This is what they did. They spread their cloaks on the road when Jesus was coming. That word matters. While others spread branches, cloaks and branches they had cut in the fields, and those who went ahead and those who followed shouted. We have cloaks that they were throwing, branches that they were laying down, and they were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And what was happening here, again, this is a people that are on a pilgrimage. This is a people that understand the Bible really well, and they understood 2 Kings chapter 9. They understood what was happening in that text right there. And 2 Kings chapter 9, what was happening is the story is getting unfolded about a man that God had chosen to be the next king of Israel. His name was Jehu. And he anointed him king over Israel. And what do you do with an anointed king? What do you do with one who is rising to take the throne of power over a nation? Here's what you do. 2 Kings 9. Quickly, they took their cloaks. We just read that. And they spread them under him. Just read that. On bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king. What's happening in Jerusalem? On this Palm Sunday that we just read about, they are throwing cloaks on the ground and they are throwing them before Jesus and shouting, blessed is he, glory be. The spirit of King David is falling on our region, on this area today. Here comes the miracle maker. Lay it out, King Jesus. No longer will we bow to Emperor of Rome, but to the King of Israel, this rabbi, this rabbi. And it spoke that they took these palm branches and laid them out. And if you read the gospel lesson, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each have their unique angle into the story. We can read that they were waving palm branches and they were laying them down. In Mark, we see they're laying them down. And in others, we see that they didn't just lay them down, but they waved them as well. And the palm branches were only used for a couple things. And in this case, probably both. Both. One was a sign of victory, a military move, that we are rising up. Let Israel rise up. And number two, it would have been a sign, a declaration of independence. We're no longer as it was in Egypt. May it be here in this area of Rome. And then that third one, they were shouting. And actually, that word should also have this in it because of the context. If you have a Bible with some footnotes on it. You can see it. Like, what are all these notes down here on Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Where does that come from? Because these aren't just words that they made up on the moment. They were singing a song. They were singing. And we know they were singing because the Psalms, which they would have known full well, the Psalms are songs. And in Psalm 118, they are actually singing Psalm 118. They pulled a song out and broke into a song as Jesus was marching into Jerusalem on that colt. And they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, singing it. I don't know the tune. I just know it was a song. And they're singing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you wonder, what's the rest of the song? What is it? What's happening in the heart, in the minds? What's stirring? What is the context? Because context matters. Verse 7 of Psalm 118 says this, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph over Egypt, in triumph over Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece, and now Rome. I look in triumph over my enemies. Verse 10, it says this, all nations, all of them surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. And in verse 12, we read these words, they swarmed me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, which is the word, Lord, save us. Lord, rescue us. As you did in the past, may you do it in the future. Come, Lord Jesus, may this be our moment. And Jesus said, not a chance. Nope. That's the way of Egypt. That's the way of Assyria and Babylon. That is the way of Persia. It was the way of Greece. It's the way of Rome. That's not my way. That's the way of the kingdoms of this earth, but that is not the way of the kingdom of heaven. If you think that I actually came to earth leaving the throne of the universe to come down to this little speck of dust called planet Earth so that I could exert a little bit of my power and take an earthly throne, you're not seeing fully how amazing and how massive the move is to launch a counter kingdom in this world that doesn't look like that. It's based on something else. Because here's the reality. I did not come, Jesus said these words, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Gospel of Mark. I came, or he said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. And with that, Jesus went to his throne. He made deliberate steps toward his throne, but the throne would not be anything like anybody expected. Not be anything like what they were gathered up in Jerusalem going, Lord, you did it in the past. Come again in mighty power. Here comes the miracle maker. Maybe throwing out their cloaks and waving their palm branches, declaring independence and beginning to sing a song. Because the throne actually was made out of two trees. One this direction, one that direction. The robe that they put on him, we can read about it in Mark chapter 15. The robe that they put on him, it was a royalty color, purple, that they put on him. And then The crown, his coronation, well, you are the king. His crown was thorns. And then they lifted him up on, if you will, the throne on which his grace and his mercy and his way. I came to give my life so that you might have it, and you might have it, and you might have it, and you might have it. I might have life. I came to love and to forgive and to heal and to seek, to save that which is lost, to destroy the works of the enemy that would steal the life that I long for you to have in me. I came for that very purpose. And it would take, we're in Holy Week here, it would take the earth getting shook at his death. It would take a tomb opening up. It would take 500 plus people seeing him walking on the backside of it to say, what just happened? This is not what we expected. This is not even what we were asking for. But today we can look and say that so much more. Here would be my ask for us as we think about this, is that we would just step back for a moment, like really way back. Like we've been Old Testament, New Testament. Let's go all the way back to the beginning now. Because in the beginning, these are the opening words of the scripture. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then just a few words later, he's making us. And it says that let us, who's us, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us make them, you and me, male and female, us in his image. We are to bear the image of God in this world, not the other way around. And the crowd in that moment, they wanted a different Jesus than what they got. They were looking for something and claiming something and praying for something. And what Jesus said is not a chance. I am me wherever I show up, and I have something so much more for the world. And then Jesus said these words, as the Father has sent me, here's where this is pretty powerful. So now I'm sending you. There are kingdoms of this world that come and go. There was Egypt, and there was, in the list, you've heard them enough, all the way down to Rome. Where are they now? In our memories, in the books. Where's the kingdom of heaven? It's ever advancing through us who choose the Jesus way in this world, who choose to say, as he came to serve, me too. I'm part of that kingdom. As he came to love, me too. As he came to move with grace, me too. As he came to be obedient to the Father, even to the point of taking all equality with God and saying, I'm going to let it go. Even to the point of offering his life, his very life, us too. That's the call. It's not small. It's really big. All of you, for the one that gave all of himself to you. So as we enter this Holy Week, on the front end of this Palm Sunday, let there be two prayers that come from us too. From us too. First one would be the same one. We come and we celebrate, Lord, what you have done to do that. And to remember, there's an old song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. What if we all this week just got a piece of paper and started writing them down? Some of you are like, what is writing on paper? Get a computer and start putting it somewhere, or put in your notes on your phone, whatever. But find a place and just say, I'm going to write down all the things God has done for me. And it could be really simple. I really like pizza, and I have pizza today. Thank you, Lord. It came from somewhere. But it could also be something really big. Like, there was a moment in my life where you showed up, and I don't know who I'd be today if it wasn't for that. Thank you, Lord. Do the act of remembering, Lord, save us, and you did. And then on this other side of it, do some forward thinking. But not trying to make Jesus something he isn't, but allow Jesus to make us something even more beautiful. Lord, you came to seek and save, and you came to serve and love, and What in me still needs to change and be shaped in order for that to happen?
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.